Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think more than any other Met player, certainly you get this a little bit from Lindor when he does something well. Not saying nobody has it, but I don't think any Met shows that outward infectious enthusiasm and that juice, that energy, that vibe, that aura that Mark Vientos does. And for the most part, it's been on hiatus this year, but you more and more, because he doesn't even play well. But the last 30 days or so, he's been hitting it. His confidence is back. And I just feel like when Vientos hits, the stadium sounds a little different. The dugout looks a little different. It is a different vibe. So he lengthens the lineup. Remember, this was the guy that I was saying should bat second to start the year. I wanted to trot out Lindor, Vientos, Soto, and Pete. 1, 2, 3, 4, and then really Nimmo 5 and maybe, you know, Alvarez 6, whatever it was, I forget. But for certainly I had Lindor, I had Vientos in the 2 spot, and he got off to a very weird start. In a lot of ways, Beatty passed him by, you know, and then he just didn't produce. Then he wasn't really healthy, and he wasn't locked in. Yeah, I remember that series in Miami, just loafing up the bases and just weird plays at third. He was definitely not locked in. And I thought last night, and Hav, you brought this up, and I'm like, oh yeah, I heard it. I had a good report, and when they talked about, like, he was asked, Gelbs asked him, what happened? Like, why have you locked back in? You know, and it was, I wouldn't have thought of this, but it makes a lot of sense. And Vientos basically told Gelbs, he's like, you know, after the way I played most of last season, I started thinking, like, really, really big, like silver sluggers and MVPs and all-stars, and now I'm just inserting this, not necessarily from a selfish perspective, but, you know, he really just lifted up his own ceiling. And what he told Gelbs was, he basically, you know, because I had this heightened, you know, thought of what I can do and what I could be, I changed my approach. And, you know, I mean, on a very different level, like I could relate to that. I'm sure many of you could as well. Whatever it is, and it happens a lot on the golf course. How many times are you playing golf and somebody said, my dad says this all the time, hey, why did it go so far? Because you didn't swing hard, right? And I know that he's right. But like when you kind of step on one, whatever stepping on one is for you, it's all relative. I mean, invariably, what do you try to do? Just hit that one 260. Maybe I can hit this one 280. Let me go harder. And I think that's kind of what Vientos did. And let's face it, when you try to go 260 to 280, how many times or whatever your number is, does it really work? No, it really doesn't work. So he just tried to step on a drive and instead he banged it out of bounds. Now he's back to finding fairways and looking for, and they talked about this, and then Keith expanded on it, obviously Keith in the booth, and he's like, yeah, listen, it's music to my ears. Look for the fastball and adjust. It's like such a simplistic approach, but when you're a young hitter, I think sometimes we forget about, you know, how loud the head could get. So I get it, and Vientos' presence now makes the Mets feel a little different in a very good way. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal here. Now, the other thing, too, we'll get back to these calls. The other thing I put out there on the table was the MVP race. Now, there's a lot of baseball to go, I guess, or at least enough time where this race can still be decided. Now, Hoff, I need you to check this out. I didn't check it out this morning. I'll hit you with the other stuff just when you find it. Just when you can, let me know what the updated odds are, please, for Judge and Cal Raleigh. So when I look at this, and I told you this is always my equation. Well, I said this a lot about Jalen Brunson, you know, getting first-team All-NBA votes or MVP votes. Like, you subtract player X from situation or team Y, what is the result? It's just the best way to do it. Subtract Raleigh. What's Seattle? Subtract Judge. What's the Yankees? I think we know the answer to both. I think that there's this assumption that if you subtract Judge, that the Yankees obviously sink. I mean, it's not even a team worth watching. Whereas if you, and like we grant him because we see it every day and we know how amazing he is, that's like the easy answer. But I don't know if it's necessarily the right answer. I think this year, just again, this year pertaining to this award, if you subtract Cal Raleigh from Seattle, the hell are they? Basically the same record, Both teams have 71 wins. Seattle has one more loss. Yanks have a game in hand. Yanks are 5.5 out. Seattle's 1.5 out. Not that that really matters, but just to give you a scope of where they are. You want a little war reference? All right, Judge is 6.9. Amazing. And he's missed time. And Raleigh's 5.9. Tight. Now, the reason why this is beginning to change for me, I mean, there even when he hit like number 40, I was dismissing Raleigh. I'm like, Raleigh, stop. Judge is going to mess around with the Triple Crown, maybe. Well, you know, I don't know. I'm not saying that he can't get blistering hot and reassert himself in that race, but suddenly the average is down to 320-something. He was hitting 390, 380, 370 most of the year, 360 for sure. So that's dropping, and Raleigh's got more home runs, and he's got more RBIs. And the OPS is tight. Judge first, Raleigh third. The only discernible difference, and this is where I would find a contradiction for many of you, if you lean on this, meaning like pro-Judge, many of you tell me batting average doesn't matter. Well, if batting average doesn't matter and it's the other stuff, then don't tell me about Cal Raleigh's 252 average, because batting average doesn't matter. So right now, I would say, God, it's tough. I would say Judge by like a photo finish tick. But I'm not convinced it finishes that way. And I'm not even sure I believe what I just said about Judge photo finish. Cal Raleigh's on pace for 61 bombs. Catcher. So you got to give him respect. 888-808-1019. Two things, Hoff. What are the updated odds? I know it's tight.
So Judge is a favorite for minus 160.
Okay.
And Raleigh
plus is... Plus 140?
I have plus 105.
Ooh. Okay. So that is definitely changing fast. Now, what do you think? I mean, you think Raleigh's got something to stand on here?
He does because of the position he plays and the fact that he may, you know, hit 60 home runs, all of that stuff. But on the other hand, too, like I could sit there... The same way that there's always somebody that's like, oh, well, Shohei Ohtani does two different things. He pitches and he hits. You know, give him the MVP. But, like, really, is that enough? Aaron Judge is the main force of the Yankees. He's the reason why they are so good. The Yankees run off of Aaron Judge. The way he plays outfield, he's not a schmo out there. He's a legitimate, good, great defensive outfielder. And his bat is the reason why the Yankees usually win. We are talking about, for the Yankees, if it's not home runs, they don't do anything. Judge is the only other outlier where he could do everything.
No, I know, but Raleigh's got more.
Oh, I understand that. But on the other hand, like, both teams are neck and neck with making the playoffs. Yeah. They're both valuable to their team. Do I value Aaron Judge as a player and reason why the Yankees are winning? Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. I think that without Judge, the Yankees wouldn't make the playoffs. Kyle Raleigh, same thing, but I do think that their pitching staff, the Mariners pitching staff,
Seattle
is better. Yeah.
So a little better.
So there's certain things that I weigh in and out of.
No, listen, it's close. And again, I'm kind of leaning, you know, a little bit towards Judge right now. But you'd have to be with me on this. Like, if Aaron Judge continues to languish, like, his last 30 days, Judge is hitting .210 with you know, just a couple of home runs. And now he was hurt.
He was coming back from an injury.
I understand that, exactly. But what I'm saying is, with 30 games to go, if there's not an appreciable uptick, and Raleigh, who has 10 home runs in his last 30 days, three for Judge, I know Judge is hurt, that has to reshape your opinion on who wins the award. It's got to. Come on, Huff.
But here's the thing is, right, like, I don't want to just sit there and say, because he has more home runs, he's the MVP. Like, to me,
he's got more RBIs, too.
I understand that. Again, he's also missed, 10, 15 games? Maybe not 15 games, but he missed 10 more games. Those 10 games, in a blink of an eye,
yep.
Aaron Judge could put up easily 10, 15 RBIs.
He could.
And come right back.
He could, but, you know, you get hurt. I mean, that's part of the deal.
You're right. No, you're not wrong. But on the other hand, too, I've looked at Shohei Ohtani constantly winning MVP, and everyone sits there and tips their cap and says, oh, he's clear-cut MVP because what he does.
Yep.
But really, he doesn't do what we say he does. There's the idea, the perception of what Shohei Ohtani does, and he doesn't really do it. Like, he's not really pitching very well for the Dodgers. His stats are good, but are they better than Kyle Schwarber's? Kyle Schwarber's crushing the ball, too.
Yeah.
You know, you go up and down baseball. I mean, Juan Soto, we're sitting there. Juan, by the way, Pete Alonso's not even in the MVP conversation
anymore.
I've seen that. But Juan Soto's up there.
He's creeping in.
And Juan Soto's having a bad year.
He's creeping in.
So it's like, if Juan Soto's having a bad year, but but Shohei Ohtani can have, you know, dip in certain aspects, but because he pitches.
Yeah, but he's not pitching great. I mean, but listen, the thing with Rowley, to me, again, if he gets to 61 and that's where he's projected to finish, he's at 50 now. If he's at 61 and let's say Judge hits 54 and Rowley's got more ribbies and the OPS, which is very, very close right now, I think I'd have to vote for Cal Rowley, that personally.
I get it. And listen, you're not wrong for doing that. And again, both teams got to make the playoffs. I'm not
going to get... They're going to.
Well, listen, the Mariners are on the back end of that, right? I mean, they could miss the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
But what would they be without Cal Rowley? That's kind of the point.
Well, as I said, Aaron Judge, Cal Rowley, basically the same type of guy.
Yep.
However, if you miss the playoffs, you should not be winning
the MVP. I agree with that.
I was tired of all the Mike Trout MVPs.
And they were, listen, Andre Dawson. Didn't Andre Dawson win one when the Cubs were in the last play? Oh, he just had right? Absolutely. That was, 80 out of 9. I'm just throwing out a year. Something like that. 888-808-1019 is the number. BT and Sal, good job on the 87. Thank you, Hoff. Let's get back to you. Lots at play. Vince, Trent, New Jersey on the fan. What's up, Vince?
Hey, 45-year Yankee nut, BT. Here's one for you with this situation for next year in the outfield. What if it's revealed? Because I'm not so sure Judge's elbow is still only a week or two away.
Yeah, I hear
you. Let's just say for giggles, it's if you don't laugh, move to first base, you can live with what you have for the rest of your career. Mm-hmm. If you want to play the outfield at a high level, you need Tommy John and will miss a year of your prime.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's a wild scenario that's going to play out.
Well, but there's also something in the middle that you choose to ignore. I mean, the elbow is just slightly compromised or it eventually heals without Tommy John surgery, which is a possibility. And he can play right field.
Oh, that would be the ultimate. But I'm just wondering if by now, in theory, a week or two, he should have been out there based on the initial report. So I just have a little bit of skepticism that we're going to be able to put that offense together this year with him and Stanton consistently through the run. And the only chance to make noise is both of them have to be in there.
Listen, I'm worried. I mean, Vince, I'm worried. It's a fair concern. I'm worried about Judge's elbow. How the hell could you not be? Nah, he'll be fine. Judge is good. Nothing to worry about. Yeah. I'm a little worried. See, unlike a pitcher, like when Tanaka had this, right? I don't know if it's the same exact thing. He's got a tender flex in a flexor. Tender flex. Jeez. Right, coming down 3-2-1. I'm still not sure if I'm going to say it right. Tendon flexor. All right? So that's what Judge has. And Tanaka had the UCL, a slight tear, which he was able to work around and pitch through, as we know. Now, at least like with a pitcher, even though it's not the same exact thing, but a pitcher has an elbow injury that's short of full Tommy John blowout. You can work yourself up in the bullpen and gradually get to that threshold of throwing at max velocity. What worries me about an outfielder, Judge, is that, you know, long toss, you know, yeah, let a couple rip, 70%, whatever. But then all of a sudden you're in a game and that ball's banging around the corner. You pick it up. Somebody's, you know, trying to score from first and you just blast one, you know, 93, 94 miles per hour, which he does from the corner of a stadium. And there's not that gradual workup like a pitcher has. That worries me. Absolutely worries me. There's no way around it. And that's something that, you know, I mean, I can't solve it on the radio. I don't know. I just don't know. 888-808-1019. Thank you, though. BT and Sal on the fan inside of our Town Fair Tire studio. Friends of Town Fair remind you, Joey's get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Let me get Teddy and Belrose. What's up, Ted, on the fan?
BT, you are my friend, and as I'm waiting, you know, a decent amount of time, but thank God, time is on my side after my slow recovery. But I have to really appreciate my fellow Met fans with some very, very insightful comments. And even you, by the way, and kudos to one of the callers who swelled your head a little bit as an objective Mets fan, even though you are a Yankee fan. You see the shortcomings. You see the, what's going on in there. And I have a couple of little bullet points, if you will allow me.
Yeah, please, go ahead. By the way, I'm happy you're feeling better. Go ahead, Ted.
I thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yep. One day at a time, man. The worst is over. It's all about getting better. But if only Manaea could get better and get us into the seventh inning tonight, I would feel so much better. That would be number one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Number two.
And by the way, I'm going to let you get through the list. But again, because Senga didn't show a ton lay, you know, she showed some guile, but again, wasn't able to do what you need to do. Like, it almost puts more emphasis on Manaea tonight. If Senga was dominant last night and Manaea bombed, it's like, okay, at least you get one. But one of these two guys has to join the party.
You're 100% right. And here's bullet point number two. But first, let me ask you a hypothetical. When was the last time you can recall, as a huge baseball lifer that you are, where a starting pitching staff was gutted prior to postseason play and ran with it, actually? Like I said, take a look, whatever. I don't know. I can't answer it right now, but I will. But here's what I am going to segue right into. If Stearns has the guile and the wherewithal, and even the chutzpah to bring in those two other fellas from Syracuse, Tong and Skoll,
and run with these
three young arms coming into the playoffs. You want to talk about a brilliant, brilliant transition and let these starters who are making way too much money for what they've been underachieving and use them in short relief come first wild card series, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
That would be a serious feather in his cap.
Yeah, I'm with you. I agree with that. And also not giving up Vientos and, you know, getting that bolt. Now, if last night was step one for Helsley, and Teddy, thanks for the call. I'm glad you're feeling better, bud. If last night was first step for him coming out of the pen, getting his act together, you know, he was able to get all these bullpen arms, and he didn't give up anybody that you didn't want to give up, which is massive. You know, you didn't give up Mauricio. He didn't give up Acuna. He didn't give up this guy. Just, you know, Vientos clearly didn't give up Sproul. Didn't give up McClain. Dove, can you help me? Yeah, now,
some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ted said chutzpah. I always thought it was chutzpah. Help me out.
It's actually a ch sound, chutzpah. So how you get around not saying a ch sound, that's up to each person.
Yeah, for sure. But he made it like a short U. I thought it was more like a long U or almost like an O. He said huh.
No, chutzpah.
Yeah, I'm saying almost like hoof, chutzpah.
Chutzpah.
There you go. I nailed it. Look at him.
Is that like your accent, though? It's like a New York accent? It's not coffee, it's coffee.
No, I don't think that's a geographical thing. I think it's more a religious.
Chutzpah is geographical. If you're in New York, you have more chutzpah.
There you go.
He didn't answer the question. He really didn't. He didn't answer the question. I don't think he addressed what you were asking. Did he? I don't think he did. Dovey. Dovey, when do you start your 9 weeks of vacation? Pretty soon coming up, buddy?
Well, yesterday was the first of Elul, so we're about a month away from Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, you'll be Mr. of Football, but we'll be here. Now, you'll be here a little bit, obviously, in October, but a lot of holidays, of course, that you'll be celebrating. I can't wait for football. You know, I just can't. I say it every year. I love when baseball starts for a million reasons. But, like, even now, like, just dropping my son off to practice, like, you just, you know, practice starts at 6. You pick him up at 8. You know, you got to have a little hoodie on. Like, it's getting a little nippy in the burbs. Oh, you know what's coming. Well, I mean, hopefully we get some good football. But even just the start of the season, it's just the best. Everything, like, and then Halloween, and then Thanksgiving, and then Christmas, and then the Knicks, and then the Johnnies. I mean, a good fun roll here. Yankees score. They hit home runs. There's always a connection there. You expect it. Nationals are atrocious. You know, Yankees lit them up early. And in terms of the order, you know, Ben Rice, he had a hit in ribby. Judge obviously had a hit in a ribby. 2-for-3 for Belly, 3 RBIs. He's up to, almost 275. And then Jazz, another home run. So the meat of the order was absolutely cooking for the Yankees last night. Let's get back to the phones here. 888-808-1019. And Nick is down in St. Augustine, Florida on the Fan. What's up, Nick?
Hey, what's up, BT?
Hey.
I had some fun listening to your home run the other day. Hoff has got to teach the little man Anthony to come high and tight onto an old man with a bad back.
That's right. Yeah.
If he hits the deck, then he might not be hanging over the plate.
Hey, listen, I was waiting for that cutter just to, I knew it was going to break a ton. He's got to dust me off. He's got to put me on my ass. He'll learn. He will learn.
That's right. Mm-hmm. All right. Also with the Mets, I know I think you had the same pulse as most Mets fans. We were high on him coming into the season. Come trade deadline, hasn't been hitting. Then we were looking at maybe if we could pick up a big piece, get rid of him. I'm in a family group chat. We all agreed. Last night, though, was the first time that I felt like the old Mets from last year. And it wasn't just because of the Yentos. It was because Taylor was hitting. It was because the lineup felt deep. It was because they were hitting with two outs and runners in scoring position. It was the first time this year that I had the feeling that I had last year with the Mets, you know. And if the lineup stays deep like that and they put the bat on the ball, I think they could go on a nice run.
Yeah, I mean, they might. I mean, it's just, you know, not that you always need to have something feel like, you know, the previous year. But, I mean, that's one of the things that was appealing about the Mets last year, Nick, is that Vientos, you know, young, a young hitter with promise who rose to the moments. And then you're like, well, what the hell happened? Why did it just evaporate? And it evaporated because hitting is very hard. He got off to a rough start, and, you know, and then things were what they were, and now he's reasserted himself. And, you know, it's not a game or two or four or five. I mean, Vientos been swinging it well for 30 days. And, listen, if you ask me, do I think Vientos is more of the hitter, you know, that he showed last year for the most part, or the real rough stretch for most of this year, I think he's more last year guy. I've always thought that. The thing that complicates the evaluation of Vientos, well, not even complicates, but at least makes him expendable when he's not hitting, is that he doesn't run and he doesn't pick it at third. He's a deficient defender and he's just slow. So if he's not hitting, what is he really bringing to the party? Just not a whole lot. Let me get Habez in Fishkill, up north a little bit in Dutchess County. What's going on, Jabez? How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
First time caller. Glad to be here.
First time. Welcome in, man.
Hey, I got two things I want to say. One is about Cam Schlittler. Man, is he looking good? He's got nasty stuff, man. It's good to see him out there perform every night and be, you know, dominant and competitive, you know?
Yes, I do know. It's beautiful. He's not just a thrower. You know, there's a lot of guys who come up, throw 97, 98, 99. He's a pitcher. He is polished. He's got a repertoire. He moves it up and out. I mean, it's early, but he looks like the real deal. He really does.
No, it's amazing, man. And the second thing, and I'll leave it here. These bonds the Yankees are hitting, man. I mean, it's good. It's really good to see when the bats come active. But man, they can only hit home runs, man. If they can only play like a little bit of small ball here and there against good teams, I mean, that's what we're going up against. Like in the postseason, you know, you can't be hitting bombs off the best of the best, and that's where the postseason comes in. The best of the best are going to be out there, and we just got to compete, man. We can't just keep hitting the home runs every game, man. We got to play small ball here, you know?
But now, Habez, and thanks for the call, now you're asking them to do something that they're not really equipped to do. Now, maybe they're more equipped to do it than they have been, but how many times this year have the Yankees tried to drop down bunts or tried to do some situational stuff in extra innings, and it hasn't worked out favorably? Listen, we know the deal. Yankees hit home runs against, you know, they beat up and they bully some of these worst teams, bad teams, and they look like they can do some real damage in October. But you're just not going to fool me anymore, because unless they play a different brand of base, and they try to, which is dangerous, as I just said, because it's not what they really do. But if they tried and they're a little bit more effective at it than I think that maybe they could be or they have been, well, then that would change my opinion. You know, you get Cruz back out of the pen. You know, you got Schlittler here. Rodon's had a pretty good year. I mean, he really has. You got to be fair. Now, he's not, you know, even the Red Sox before the other night, they pitched pretty well, but they knocked him around twice. But what else do you want? I mean, he's not your ace. He's going to finish with, what, 16, 17 wins, ton of strikeouts, low batting average against. You know, lefties don't touch him. He's unhittable at home. I mean, Rodon, I still don't trust him, but Rodon has been pretty good. I think that, like, the Yankees, who have, what, 19 or 20 more home runs than anybody in baseball, that's actually amazing. I knew they were number one. I didn't realize it was that much, 19 or 20. But we understand what happens here. Pitching gets better. The stage gets bigger. The home runs evaporate. and there's just a lot of easier or too many easy empty outs. We've seen this before, guys. Dom's in Westport on the Fan. What's up, Dom?
Hey, how are you doing, BT? Glad to see that you survived that errant shot by the great one.
Yeah, oh, hey, listen. But don't listen. You can't blame Mike. It was the lie. It was a wet lie. It was a side hill lie. You know, it was the lie.
The sun was in his eyes. We know.
Yeah.
Hey, BT, great job. Always, I think, you know, you do a great job of being objective on both the Mets and
Thanks,
Yankees.
Man.
I got to tell you, I'm a Yankee fan, long time, 50 years. I go back. I remember Thurm. I look, you know, the last six, I think, MVPs in the AL, you know, catchers, and the last one was Joe Mauer in 2009.
Yep.
Derek Jeter, Hall of Famer, was number three in that voting, and that was the year the Yankees won. So I got to agree with you. As much as I love Judge and what he brings, you know, I play catcher, so maybe I'm a little partial, but that's a tough position. And 252, I mean, he's hitting close to what Soto's hitting, right?
Yeah, so, he is. That's true.
I think you make a great point that, and you know, Judge is obviously still lingering from this. It's pretty clear. One other thing I want to give you a lot of credit for, Ben Rice. This kid really, he rakes the ball.
He's a stud.
I'm watching him. You know, you call that like early on.
He's a stud.
He said, "Watch this guy.
Star.
He's a stud.
He's a hitter,
and he's a smart kid.
Yes,
he's
he is
a smart kid."
Yeah.
I see him take pitches that, you know, a lot of guys would be swinging at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he's Ben Rice. I think he's going to be the Yankees three hitter for a long time. I really do. Now, who knows what they do? Matchups, lefty, you know, so it's not really like, all right, Mattingly third, Hernandez third. You know, it's changed. You know, Bernie or Paul O'Neill third. It has changed quite a bit. I get that. But, like, in terms of that early presence in the order, Ben Rice going to be here for a while, unless they traded him for a stud, you know, which you can never really predict. But he is just a hell of a hitter. His outs are loud. He hits it, you know, the other way enough, up the middle enough, profiles at the stadium, and he just hits everything on the screws. The young man hits everything hard. D-Rod is down in Orlando, Florida. What's up, D-Rod?
Hey, T.
Yes.
What's up, buddy?
Yo.
How you feeling? You doing all right?
Yeah, man. Feeling good.
Okay. All right, good stuff. Hey, I wanted to say something real quick. I know a couple of weeks ago you keep on talking like when players kind of have a hot start and then they kind of come down to their mean, as you call it. And you say, well, in Wall Street, there's an expression for that. And that's the mean reversion. Where, and I think sometimes you ask about that, like, what is that called again? So I just wanted to let you know what that is.
Yep.
Okay. Jazz Chisholm.
Mm-hmm.
I think... I'm trying to say this nice, and I agree with you about Bellinger. He should be a Yankee for at least, you know, the next 3 or 4 or 5 years in his prime. Jazz Chisholm, to me, reminds me of a different version of Gleyber Torres. You know, just that nonchalance, the this, the that, you know, and sometimes that may, and we don't know this, but, you know, the clubhouse, that sort of may sort of spread a little bit. What did the Yankees win with Gleyber Torres? They didn't win much of anything. He did help them last year get to the playoffs, but I think my point here is that when he got benched, Torres, last year, what did he do? He pouted, you know, on the bench, in the dugout, right?
Yeah, he did.
What did a couple of months ago when Jazz Chisholm got thrown out of a game, I forget what it was, what did he do during the game? He runs to the clubhouse, grabs his phone, and starts complaining on social media.
Yeah, that was a bad look.
You know what I mean?
I think, see, I think that there's, I know what you mean, but I don't know if I fully agree. Now, I'd have to see the contract. That's what we're talking about. Not whether or not Jazz is good. There's nothing to debate. Not whether or not it was a good move by Brian Cashman. It was a good pickup, right? When you talk about Jazz's future here, you know, is it... I mean, he's still young enough, so it's not going to be 3 years. I mean, he's... Is it 5 years? I like him enough to... I do go back and forth a little bit here. So, I love him at second. He was okay at third, and then the numbers back that up. He was okay at third, but he's second. And the reason why I'd be more pro-signing him than not, I mean, first of all, he's not going to lose his speed. He's just an amazing athlete. But you could put him in the outfield. Like, maybe not center in 3 or 4 years, but he can't handle left field if he had to. So, and I also think you need guys like that, provided you have enough of the other stuff. Like, it's not Jazz's responsibility to make sure everything in the clubhouse works. Like, what he brings, you need. You do. It's a monotonous grind. It's every day, just about, you know, 28 days a month, just about. It is a constant travel grind. You're always with each other. 7 o'clock game. You get to the ballpark at 3, sometimes earlier. Pre-game routine, meetings, hit. They don't really do it on the field anymore, infield, outfield, but do that stuff. Throwing, you lift, you eat. You're there all day. And then by the time you finish up with the game, take a shower, do the interviews, you leave in the yard around 11. So that is a lot of time to be around a lot of people. And I think you need guys like Jazz. Keep it loose. Like, he's just a fun-loving dude. I wish he was a little more locked in situations like it. Sometimes he swings like Reggie when it doesn't call for it. And that bothers me. But he's not alone. Like, that's the modern player. And if you can get past that, I mean, how many other second basemen are going to hit 30-plus home runs and steal 40-plus bases? And by the way, be a hell of a fielder. I know there's the occasional lapse throwing. I mean, Jazz is a stud. What position does he hit optimally? I don't know.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is he perfect? No. Is he an upgrade over Torres? Oh, yeah, absolutely is. No question. 40 minutes from now, whatever. Nick Turturro. Now, he is obviously an actor. A lot of stuff with Spike Lee. He's got something new with Spike. I'm a little worried about Nick here because, I mean, I'm always worried about Nick because when he's in his usual incensed, deranged Nick Turturro state, I worry about the guy's health. I mean, he reacts to some of these Yankee losses. I don't mean playoff losses. He reacts to losses in May like it's the end of the world. I mean, dropping F-bombs and veins popping and absolutely out of his mind. And I like him, right? But now he's kind of morphed into this, like the complete antithesis of crazed Nick. He's now like docile Nick. And I see him on his couch and he's very, very different delivery, kind of monotone, almost accepting of what appears maybe the Yankee fate in his eyes. And we'll try to wake him up a little bit. Nick's going to join me coming up next hour. Hoff, I know you had something on the Mets. What was this about?
I don't even know why it's a thing. And this is kind of bothersome that this was even asked. John Heyman and Joel Sherman, and they do their thing, so I'm not going to knock them at all. But they did have David Stearns on.
And they do a good job with the pod.
Yeah, and they had him on a podcast. And the headline is that David Stearns has announced that Carlos Mendoza will be returning next season as head manager of the New York Mets.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was ever really a question?
Well, let me ask you this. Did you click on it?
No.
Well, did you read it?
I read it. I didn't click on the article.
You could tell what it was without reading it?
Well, no, that's the headline. That's what they put.
Then that's a bad job by them. They've got to hide that a little bit to make sure that you do click on it.
Well, no. I think you'll see that Carlos Mendoza is returning. Oh, why is he returning? What did David Stern say about Carlos Mendoza?
Mm-hmm.
Why is he returning? Then click. Me, I'm going to not take that bait.
You just weren't curious enough.
Well, why was he ever in question of being fired?
I don't know that he was. I don't think he's had a really good season. But they
asked him if he's returning.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. Like, if he's not being... you said he's not never really being thought of being fired. Mm-hmm. But they're asking if he's returning. Like, that's in doubt that he's not coming back next year?
No. I don't think that it's necessarily in doubt, but I don't think they're out of bounds for asking the question. You get the GM of the Mets on there. You want to have a State of the Mets conversation. Now, I don't know how was it framed? Like, hey, if you guys don't make the playoffs, or if it's a quick bounce from the playoffs, is Mendy assured to come back? I would kind of like to know that, because to me that would be the better way to. That's how I would frame it if we had Stearns on, but. I don't know. I mean, Mendoza, many times I've gotten on the air and said, I don't know what he was thinking with some of those decisions. Now, I don't think he's had a very good year. Now, last year was very good. This year has been a little spotty. And now he's got a chance to change spotty to better. He's maybe stabilizes it. And either way, like, even if he had a bad year, which he's not having a bad year, last year was just better. But if he had a bad year, unless it was just bad in the clubhouse, which it's not, I would be of the mindset, if I'm Stearns and if I'm Cohen, year one, really good. Again, if year two was really bad, it's not. But if it was, I would use year three as that determining factor, meaning I would bring it back pretty much no matter what. So philosophically, I'm with you. But you make it seem like it's a bad question. I don't think it's a bad question.
It's an awful question.
Why?
It's not, because here's the difference. Like, when Buck got fired after year two, right, they won 101 games, and then they missed the playoffs completely. And the locker room felt like it was very off. I mean, legitimately.
It was, the pitchers, yeah.
Everyone was talking about a lot of stuff behind the scenes. Carlos Mendoza took a team last year who was the first 2 months of the season was completely dead,
yep.
And they went to the NLCS. They didn't lose in the wild card game. They went to the NLCS,
mm-hmm.
Game 6 of the NLCS versus the Dodgers, who won the World Series. And then this year, they're still in the playoffs. I understand you could sit there, and I totally agree with you, that he's mismanaged the pitching all season long,
yep.
Bullpen use, starting pitching, all that stuff. I get it. Even pinch hitters. Base runners with Starling Marte, because he doesn't run fast. He runs,
yep.
like Giancarlo
when he got
Stanton.
Thrown out at the plate. Yep.
He runs like Giancarlo Stanton, but he,
no, he
looks
doesn't.
Like Adonis.
Stop,
dude. No.
Faster than that.
No, he's not.
Yes, he
dude,
is.
No, no. I'm
not
gonna
even
be
close.
Okay, so before you continue, I'm unfortunately going to have to give you stats. His sprint rate.
Sprint speed.
His sprint speed.
Look at Hoffy joining the
dude,
statistical party.
His sprint
party.
Speed Woo! Is so low on the charts. It's, yeah. not even funny. It's like in the 20s where like Tyrone Taylor's like 90. It's not even close. He is not fast. He runs around.
No,
so
I said that I said he should have been pinch run for that night. But
but
Stanton's in the 3 percentile. Marte's in the 20 something.
I don't know. Is he really 3%?
Yeah, no, he absolutely 100%.
Dude, he had a double the other day.
I know he's not that fast.
I'm surprised he got to second base.
He
got there.
Yeah,
he surprised me. He got quicker.
But the bottom line is, you don't think Mendy's had a great year. Neither do I. But not fireable no matter what. I'm with you.
But so that's why it's
like. I agree.
That's why it's a, I don't want to say it's a troll question, but for Heyman and Sherman. And the response from Stern specifically, the quote is, oh, yeah, Mendy's doing a great job. I think he's the right person for the job. So, and then they put that out there that he's coming back next season. So I don't know where that quote is. But the point is that you're making it sound like Carlos Mendoza's job is on the line, which is nowhere close, because he's done nothing with this team that's been egregious,
yep.
to make him lose a job.
I agree with you. Why don't you call a permanent Sherman Heyman? And Heyman and call and yell at them?
I'm just going to text
them. I agree with you.
I'm just going to text them. That's all. But again, like, dude, the headline. Come on, dude. You can't.
It's a headline. You've been in the business 30 years. You don't understand the headline by now.
Oh, I understand it, but I mean the
you
fact
just take
that,
issue with it.
Well, 100%, dude. That's okay. Boone has been here for how long? Cashman's been here for how long?
And too long with Cashman.
And you've been saying for how long that they need to change?
At least 5 years with Cashman.
So if you were to, say, be on a phone call with Hal Steinbrenner, and you brought that question up, very justifiably.
Inbounds.
100%.
No, I get you.
I don't think in a year and a half with Carlos Mendoza, who is an up-and-comer manager, who's done a brilliant job with this team, you're going to ask that question?
I agree with you.
I'm sorry.
I really
Heyman
do.
Heyman and Sherman, poor job by you guys.
Okay. All right, I get it. I mean, I don't really disagree with you. The only thing that I do disagree, and I guess it's really the essence of your complaint, so maybe I completely disagree, even though we're on the same page when we talk about Mendoza, I don't think it's an irresponsible, and I know why you would say, like, I'm not trying to play both sides. I know what you mean. Like, really good year one, they're going to be a playoff team, 90% this year. Like, what the hell are we even asking the question for, dude? I get that, but because they played so poor for months, I don't think it's a below board question. But hold on. Yeah. I would like to hear how it was framed. I think the way, if it was framed with a lot of good, is there anything, like, I would need to hear the way they asked it for me to get on them a little bit more. I don't have an issue with them asking right now.
But my question to you this, BT.
Yeah.
If in a year and a half of a new manager, first-time manager, takes a team to the NLCS, gets to where he is, where they are right now, and you think that that's even, like, a debatable thing, like, what are we doing here as fans and as, like, media, that we're sitting here and have to ask that question? It's not even 2 years. If we don't have patience for 2 years with the manager, what is it, every year now we got a different coach, different manager?
That's unacceptable too. That's why you don't have any sustainability. That's what we've been looking for with the Giants and Jets forever. That's what the Yankees have with Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman, is sustained success. Why? You may not like what they do, but they get you to the playoffs every single year. If in 2 years we have to bring up, are you sure that Carlos Mendoza is the guy for the job?
Yeah.
He's only got you to the NLCS last year, and this year you're still in the wild card race. Is this good enough? If I understand I want to win as a Met fan, but my God, you gotta to ask that question from Carlos about Carlos Mendoza, who's done a hell of a job with a team that was dead last year, and you're gonna contemplate, is he really the man for the job? I don't care how you word it. That's basically what you're saying. You, my friends, are just clickbaiting. It's ridiculous.
I respect the take.
And Sherman.
I respect it.
And I'll text them that, too.
Yeah, why don't you do that? Then let them know how you feel. I respect that take. Honestly, that's... finally have a sensible one from that. It's a real sensible...
It's 4 years. It's 4 years, but I finally got one.
It's a statement. It's kind of a referendum on what we do. Like, it's a good take. It's a smart take. You know, we want to jump into this, get rid of this guy, get rid of that guy, get rid of this. And it's really often out of bounds and too early. Like, to me, the only way it should be, like, one and done, and forget about Mendy for a moment, but, like, one and done, or even, you know, have the real conversation during year two, is if it is just, if it's just broken in the clubhouse, and he's a poor communicator, and you got guys with guaranteed contracts who just stop playing for him, then it's untenable. Then you got to do something. I don't think that's the case with Mendy at all. Now, Mendy, of course, should be back next year. Like, even if the Mets finished two games behind the Reds, which they won't, and didn't make the playoffs, I would still say that Mendoza should get a third year. He's earned that. There's no question about that. I do agree. I do. I would say this, though, and maybe you see this part a little differently. I'm not sure he's the next level guy. I have no problem saying that. But I know that Mendoza's floor is absolutely, it's solid. It's solid. And there's also something to be said for making mistakes, which he's absolute, and he's made myriad mistakes this year. Bullpen stuff. Again, if this was like the 90s, we would talk about this more. But sports radio's kind of changed. We don't really get into a little bit here and there. He's made a lot of mistakes this year. But he's also found a way to get his team alive when they were dead. So I don't know if he's the next level guy. Could be. But I know that he's certainly solid. And I don't think it's disrespectful or out of bounds like Hoff does. But I get it. I hear what he's saying. It's fair.
Some people follow the rules. But where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.